Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to episode 3.
Yeah. Of Mum
and Mama.
So we're going to birth this one, aren't we?
Yes, this is our birth, pregnancy and birth stories. Yes.
Birth podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what to expect when you're expecting?
Oh, God.
And we talk a bit about placenta encapsulation.
Vile.
Which is, and hypnobirthing.
Vile.
All very exciting, hippie things.
Yeah. And I talk about drugs, probably.
Probably.
Like, in terms of IVF. What drugs I had when I was birthing.
Yeah.
Not drugs. Full stop. Let's just get that right.
And breastfeeding. You talk about breastfeeding?
Yeah, we talk about boobies a lot.
Boobies.
And
co-sleeping.
Yeah.
We cover a lot of ground.
Very important items when you're talking about babies and giving birth, basically.
Yes.
Yes.
So I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, subscribe.
Subscribe. We've just got to keep saying that.
I've just got to subscribe.
Mum and Mama.
Mum and Mama. Who's Mum?
You.
Yes, there we go.
So I'm the beta, aren't I, in this relationship? Do you think? What do you think?
Debatable.
We'll figure that. Maybe we can figure that out.
Maybe you can figure this out for us.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Little project.
A project for you. A little bit of homework.
Anyway, enjoy.
Enjoy. Subscribe.
Yes, subscribe.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi there, Amy.
Hi, Harry.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been all right. It was my eldest daughter Lola's 9th birthday on Monday.
9 years old. You have a 9-year-old daughter. Yeah. Even
9 years ago, I had my first baby.
How was that?
It was all right, you know. My labour wasn't all right.
I was going to say, how did you have
pregnancy wasn't all right. Well, the plan was I was going to have a water birth at a midwife-led centre. On the Isle of Dogs.
What? In the Thames?
I can't even remember what the hospital's called. My memory's so bad. But it's the only midwife-led centre, so that's when you go. They haven't got any equipment. There's no doctors there, so it's just, it's all natural.
Okay.
So my labour started, it was on a Monday, and I remember it started about 12 noon. I started getting the pains. And I remember sitting in my front room. I had one of the medicine balls.
Oh, God.
And I was bouncing up and down on that. But my piles hurt more than my contractions. That was one of the worst things, actually, about pregnancy.
You've got piles?
I've got piles. Yeah, when I was pregnant, I did.
I don't even know what that is.
Didn't you get piles?
No, definitely
didn't. Shut up. I thought everyone got them when they were pregnant.
I definitely didn't get piles, Amy.
That was the worst thing. It just feels like someone's shoving a knife up your arse.
Oh, God.
Honestly, it's... My cousin...
You like out the back door?
Fucking knife. My cousin, bless her, she gets them when she's got her period. So she's always...
What's your cousin's name?
Katie Ballman. Oh, no, she's not that. She got married, didn't she?
Yeah.
But that was one of the worst. And they don't tell you. There's so many things they don't tell you
about being pregnant. They didn't tell you you had piles.
No, they didn't tell... Well, I didn't... It's all the pressure, isn't it? It's the pressure of the baby pushing down on you. Mm. I didn't get them till right towards the end, but that was the what that they fucking hurt. They so, really hurt.
So you're bouncing on the ball.
So I'm bouncing on the ball in my front room.
Were you full watching term? The telly.
They were both my babies were 2 weeks late. I think Lola was 13 days late and Juno was 14 days late.
Lazy bastards.
We were all late. Yeah, I was 2 weeks late, and my sisters were both late. But yeah, so that was on the Monday. But after, and my mum, I got my mum over. And we were all kind of getting ready. But then it got to about 6 o'clock, and it kind of stopped. So I was a bit like, oh, okay. So I went, and we were both slept in the city, me and my mum.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of waiting for things to happen. And then it was the next day, like 24 hours later, it started again. And then we went to the, that's when I went into the midwife hospital. So yeah. This was now on the Tuesday. So we got there and I got in. I had, so you've got your own private room.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Like, it's definitely the way to go if you're confident in your pregnancy and whatever. So we were in the... confident in your womb.
In your boom.
And they have like a big jacuzzi type tub in there. So I got in that. Was on the gas and air in the bath. So that was all really lovely. But then I got to, so they examine you, but they don't interfere too much. They kind of just let you get on with it. That's kind of the whole ethos behind it. It's a natural thing that's happening. You know, they want it all to be very relaxed. And
at this point, I have closed my legs, wincing slightly.
So they examined me. And the thing with the water birth is sometimes it can slow things down. Sometimes it can speed it up. Sometimes it can slow it down. And they said that it slowed my labour down because I basically hadn't changed. I think I was 3 centimetres when I got there and I was still 3 centimetres, like however many hours later. So then they, and I think, did we stay there the night? No, we didn't. So anyway, they ended up breaking my waters. And when they broke my waters, there was poo. There was meconium.
What?
So the baby's... She'd pooed in me. Yeah. So then once that happens, you have to go to hospital.
Oh, really?
Because the baby has to be monitored just in case they ingest any of it. So you have to be basically strapped to a bed. It's horrendous. So I got transferred to Queen Mary. Is it Queen Mary Hospital in Whitechapel? Because that's like the nearest hospital. So I got transferred there.
That's not Queen Mary, is it? It's the one in Mile End.
Yeah. Well, Whitechapel. It's Queen Mary, isn't it?
No, it's not Queen. Is it?
The London Hospital.
Yeah.
Which weirdly is where my sister Claire was born. So my mum's first baby, and my dad's mum used to work there as well. Yes, because that's around the corner from where my mum and dad. Oh no, they didn't meet opposite. They met on the road that it's on. But sorry, I'm just sipping coffee.
Right.
But anyway, so I basically went from a 5-star hotel room essentially to a broom closet in the London hospital. And this was because they've rebuilt it now.
Yeah, they have, and it looks much better.
And it was being rebuilt at the time that I had Lola, but we were still in the old part, and it was awful. And the midwife that I had a real issue, because the midwife from the birthing centre travelled with me in the ambulance to the hospital and kind of handed over.
Yeah.
And she had a real issue with the fact that I'd been to this midwife centre and really didn't like the midwife that had brought me in and really then didn't like me. So that was awful because it was just, we had gone from this really relaxing, beautiful, calming atmosphere where everything was lovely to this really old, dark,
musty,
depressing room with this midwife with a massive attitude problem. And I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And by this time...
She didn't get the forceps out, did she?
Oh, God. I'd been in labour for days. Like, this was all, like, really... My labour started properly, I guess, on the Tuesday morning, and I had Lola on the Thursday morning. But anyway, so then this was now on the Wednesday, so I asked for an epidural because I'd gone from a very much, I'm not going to have any drugs.
Yeah,
I'm going to be, you
can't,
know...
though, can you? You
I'm going to do everything.
You've got off the lot.
Yeah, but... And, they induced me.
Okay.
So because the baby had pooed in me, you have to be monitored. So you have to be laying on the bed. You're kind of strapped to the machine that's monitoring baby's heartbeat in case it gets into distress. So I'd gone from being able to move around freely to just having to lay in a... It's not a natural position. Like, when you have a baby, you just want to be kind of like in a squat position or on your knees or just... moving around, but you don't want to be kind of laying down with your back to a bed. It's just not the one.
No.
Because that's where all the weight is.
No, totally, yeah.
But anyway, so I had to be strapped to this bed, and then they were like, we're going to induce you to kind of move things along, because where she'd pooed in me, they have to get them out quicker. So my contractions kind of went from a 2 to a 10 in a matter of minutes. Like, it was absolutely horrendous. And so I was like, I've got to have an epidural because I can't do this. No. Like, it was, I was in so much pain. They gave me an epidural and it didn't work.
I was going to say, they're not allowed to do that now, are they?
What, give you an epidural?
Not whilst you're so many hours on from giving birth.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, like, I had an epidural, it didn't work. So then I had another one.
And that worked.
And that worked. And I did actually manage to sleep for a bit. So I think this was like the early hours of the Thursday morning, like 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And then I kind of managed to sleep for a few hours. And then I went up to 9 centimetres because I was still at 3 centimetres or something. Yeah. It just wasn't happening. So, yeah, so I was 9 centimetres and everyone rushed in the room because it was happening. She did have, I had forceps, forceps. But at this time, I was
like, feel it anyway.
Well, no, that was a weird thing because I could feel it. The epidural, yeah, I had an epidural with both of them, and both times it just kind of took the edge off. I could still feel everything. I could feel my legs. I could feel the baby coming out. I could feel everything, but it just kind of took the edge off of the pain.
Oh.
So the one thing I really remember is that when I could feel her head there, it honestly felt like a bowling ball. And that was trying to come out of my ass. Oh, and I was like, that's not going to happen. And I kind of, in a way, just kind of relaxed a bit. And I was like, oh, that's all right. It's not going to come out.
And then it came out.
Do you know what I mean? But then, obviously, she did come out. And that, I can't remember if they cut me.
Oh,
I think they did cut me.
Geez, no way.
But I didn't feel that. Do you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
I remember the guy sewing me up after.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, so I had, and the actual pushing out, and that was, I think I was just so over it because I've been going for
days.
Yeah, that I just wanted her out.
Oh.
And I had, I think she was born at 10:34 on a Thursday morning.
Oh, God.
Weighing 8 pounds 4.
I thought mine was pretty exciting.
How was yours?
So I had IVF.
You had 2 rounds of IVF,
so
right?
I had 2 rounds of IVF, but they were split between a couple of years because I had some operations in between. But, my last round at Homerton was pretty much a nightmare because everything that went wrong could go wrong, from them giving me overstimulating my eggs, or my ovaries, to get more eggs.
Yep.
To them not taking them out, so they were over mature. You know, I had like a catalogue of errors. So when I went back to Homerton, they said that they would give me another round free.
Oh, that's good.
Which I was like delighted with. But then they said that they would try that round. And I can remember going in and having it put back in. And I had acupuncture as well. And I do believe that was one of the reasons why I did get pregnant, because yeah. I had acupuncture before I went and had. I had acupuncture about a year and a half. And then I had acupuncture on the day of my embryo transfer. And when it was transferred, I went back straight away.
Yeah.
And she did another session. And it's supposed to stimulate your...
I've heard a lot of people say that blood. That's really helped them.
Helps any stagnant.
So with the IVF, do they take the eggs out, fertilise them outside,
yes,
and then put them back in?
And put them back in.
Yeah.
However many embryos you have.
How many did you have?
I had 2 back in.
Okay.
So I was allowed to have 2. Yeah, luckily I got pregnant. But it was never supposed to happen. It all went wrong. I had over mature, eggs. It was just a nightmare. But I so happened to get pregnant. And I had twins. And then I lost one at 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And then obviously little Idris survived. And I had an amazing pregnancy. It was really good. Until I went in for a routine checkup. And they said, you're not going anywhere. And I'd literally come from work into Homerton.
Many weeks were you?
I think I was about 32, 33, okay, possibly. So it's quite towards the end, but not quite there. And then I'd just come from work, gone in. No, you've got preeclampsia.
Oh,
so I was like, but there was nothing
but
wrong
were
with
you
me.
Not, did you? Could you not tell? Because you really swell up with that, don't you?
But I wasn't.
You don't know.
No, my feet were fine, my hands were fine, everything. There was no telltale signs. However, they had said at the time, you are literally on the borderline of having a heart attack.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay. I had nothing. I had no clothes. I didn't have any bags or anything.
Yeah.
So I was admitted into hospital, went to hospital and strapped up to monitors and all the rest of it. And I stayed in the delivery ward for 2 weeks. So I saw, and I used to hear women coming in, screaming, obviously, going through labour. And I was still there, like, days later, with my ham sandwich and my coffee.
Oh.
And, you know, like, having conversations with people about having babies, but I never obviously went anywhere.
Yeah.
And then
What do they do for preeclampsia? Can they treat it? Or have you just got to ride it out?
You've just got to monitor it. Because if anything, if the placenta moves away, then that's when the oxygen doesn't get to the baby. Yes. And that's when you can have problems.
Do you want to open it?
Oh, Alexa's just piped up. Alexa, thanks. Turn off.
Bye, Alexa. Stop getting involved in my IVF story.
What actually is preeclampsia?
I don't actually know,
Later.
Shut up. I don't actually know. All I know is, obviously, it's a bit of a silent killer.
Yeah.
I know in my situation they kept talking about heart attacks quite a lot because your blood pressure rises so rapidly. Okay.
Yep.
And then obviously that has an effect on the baby and the birth of the, and you know, obviously when the baby comes out, because if they can't breathe straight away, then that's obviously when they've got to have intervention.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. I was in hospital for 2 weeks. My consultant, Sandra Watson, who'd seen me before IVF,
yeah,
she said she saw my name on a list and couldn't believe it was me, because she had told me I would never ever be able to have children.
Oh,
ever.
My God.
And she'd actually referred me for IVF at the time, but she said when she saw my name, she couldn't believe it, and she had to come and see if it was really me.
Yeah.
She came up to the ward, she spoke to me, sat down, we had a little conversation. I'd explained I hadn't been out. I mean, I hadn't even bought a pram, I hadn't bought anything.
Yeah.
I hadn't sorted out the house, and I hadn't been home.
Yeah.
I literally left for work and then ended up in hospital. So she said I could go home for the night.
Yeah.
So Marva came to pick me up. I just wanted to have a shower and I wanted to clean the house. That's all I wanted to do. So I got in the shower, and as I got in the shower, I started to bleed.
Oh, fuck.
And then I shit myself. not like you shit yourself, but I did shit myself.
In the shower?
Not really in the shower. But, I honestly thought, oh, fuck, I've really fucked it up. Like, I've asked to come home. And it was one of the most stressful things.
Yeah.
I couldn't get hold of Marvin. I couldn't get hold of anybody. And luckily, my friend Aisha drove from Hackney to Woodford, picked me up and drove me back to Hackney, where I was admitted into hospital. It was really touch and go because I kept thinking I couldn't feel my baby. I'd obviously had IVF and it was such a, 11 years of having a child. I wanted to have a child, not had a child. And then I suddenly couldn't feel my baby, and I was in a panic, and I was I was really distressed. I went back into the delivery plumbing part, and they strapped you all up, and I think they gave me a sandwich, and the surgeon came in and he said, because they listened, and they found a faint heartbeat. And they said, we need to take you down. We need to do an emergency cesarean.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And they said, if you have anything to eat? And I went, I've had a ham sandwich. And they said, well, we can't operate on you.
Yeah.
We can't take the baby. And I was like, what, just because of one ham sandwich? They were like, just because of one ham sandwich, you can't. So it was the next day. It was about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I went down. I had my injection. We had refused vitamin K at the time. So that caused controversy. They told me that I was going to kill my baby and all sorts. Marvin got taken to one part of the hospital. I was taken to another. We were read the riot act.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I was given my injection in the back. And I was given my injection by somebody who was learning. So she was an anaesthetist. She trained. She was in training.
Yeah.
And I can remember feeling like, fuck my life. I have literally just been through the most horrific however many weeks. And I've got like a trainee giving me like my injection in my back, and then they're going to cut me open. Oh. Great. But she was fine. And it was great.
So how many weeks pregnant were you at this point?
I was 35.
Okay.
Yeah. And they cut. So it's a really weird situation. So obviously there's like lots of people in the room.
Yeah.
You get the sort of screen over you. It's not that you can feel the cut.
Yeah.
But you can feel something weird.
Yeah.
Then you can feel them like rummaging around in your stomach, like you're going in your bag. Like, that's kind of like the feeling. That's the only way I could describe it. And obviously Idris was born and then he didn't breathe.
Yeah.
And that's when panic fucking sets in. And apparently he was doing, like, he was trying to breathe, but he couldn't breathe. At which point, my blood pressure had gone so high that I had to be taken one way and Idris was taken another.
Oh, my God.
So he was taken to ICU. And I was taken back to the delivery room.
You like it there, didn't you?
Yeah. And I didn't see my baby for 24 hours.
No way.
No, because I was hooked up to loads of monitors. I had to have two nurses sat around me.
Oh, my God.
I was in serious trouble.
Fuck.
It was real touch and go for me.
Why didn't I bring him to you to have a look at?
Couldn't, because he was in an incubator.
Oh, my God.
So then... The next day after, I managed to get to see him, and that's when, you know, we realised we were really lucky. My placenta had already started to move away, and Idris was, he was in distress. So, he's my little miracle baby. He survived. He survived more things than probably most naught days old. Including having ham sandwich. Yeah. But that was, those were like, but I loved being pregnant.
See, I hated being pregnant.
Oh my God, no. How can you hate? I loved it.
Because I was so sick. My first pregnancy, the sickness kicked in literally 2 weeks after. I found out I was pregnant straight away because we were trying.
Ah.
So I literally did a pregnancy test because I'm never late. I'm always like a couple of days early.
Mm.
And I think I actually did a pregnancy test the day that I was due on and it was negative. But then I didn't come on and I waited another day. I was like, no, this isn't right. So I did another one and I was pregnant. And literally 2 weeks later, we'd been out and we'd been to Soho House.
Oh, yeah.
And they have the cow shed hand
swanky,
soaps. And, yeah,
swanky thing,
I was with
me
posh mates.
Of course.
And I really liked the smell of the soaps. I thought, I'm going to get that some for home. So I got some for home. And the day it came, my morning sickness kicked in. And to this day, I still can't smell the smell of the cow shed products. It still makes me feel sick. My morning sickness was horrendous. With Lola, it lasted 16 weeks, and Juno, it lasted 20 weeks. I was in bed with migraines with Lola probably for 3 months. I was kind of doing some stuff, but not a lot. I spent most of the time in bed. The only thing that stopped me feeling sick was eating. So I ate a lot. I think I put on 4 stone with Lola and 5 stone with Juno.
Was that the picture looking like Patch Up?
No, that was when I was a kid. Oh. I look like I ate myself.
Oh, that's when you were like Victoria Wood.
Victoria Wood, yeah. I was 10 stone when I got pregnant with Juno and I went up to 15 stone. So I put
15
on half.
Stone?
Yeah, I put on half my body weight.
Oh my
and
God.
I didn't eat anything for the first half of the pregnancy. For the first 20 weeks, I couldn't keep anything down. I was sick so much.
But you're a midget.
So I put on 5 stone in 20 weeks.
Oh, no, I look well sexy. I did pregnant. I look nice.
Horrendous.
Oh, I look lovely.
Were you just all bump?
I was all bump.
I was just all everything.
And obviously arse as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of arse and a big old bump. That's what I was. Loved it. I felt good.
Yeah.
I didn't really have morning sickness or anything like that.
So lucky.
Didn't have it. I didn't have it. But then again, I wasn't sure if that was because, I don't know whether, I mean, IVF babies are slightly different. Like, that's why I had to have a cesarean, because it was an IVF, because they implant it and it's a lot lower.
Oh, really?
So you can't, yeah. And usually, I mean, I think it's about 9 times out of 10 you can't have a natural birth. So that's okay. That's why they do a cesarean. But yeah, no, I didn't have any moisture because I didn't have any problems. I don't even think I had any cravings, to be honest.
I craved ice, and that's a lack of iron. That's an iron deficiency, yeah. I found out afterwards.
My mum used to eat coal and weed.
I ate rocket. I used to get bags of rocket and eat it like crisps with Juno.
Rocket?
Like rocket salad.
Really?
Yeah, because that's just that really strong taste. Again, I think that's probably something to do with iron.
To be fair. Weirdo.
Old wives' tales. They say that it's pregnancies are worth with girls because it's the same hormones.
Yeah, totally. I've heard that though.
I have heard it the other way as well. So I never. But I do tend to think that people that are more sick do tend to have girls than. And you're supposed to get more heartburn with boys, aren't you?
Yeah, I did get heartburn, but I thought they said something about heartburn was about the hair.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah,
mine. But did Idris have hair?
Yeah, but loads of hair.
Yeah, mine did.
He did look like a bird though when he was bird. He was like, it was about £5. He was like, gosh. Fit in your hand, literally fit in your hand. He was tiny. He's tiny.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing that they're so little.
No, it's like a giant.
Lola was 8'5" and Juno was 8'11". They were both quite big. Considering how much weight I put on, they weren't that big.
Flipping heck, you really chunked it on.
Well, I just wanted cheese sandwiches, ice cream. After I had Lola, I did Weight Watchers to lose the weight. And I found out.
Did you do Marjorie Toss? Fatty, fatty.
I found out that these Sunday things from Marks and Spencer's, like these chocolate sundaes, were near enough my whole day's point allowance.
What?
Yeah, and I was like, well, no fucking wonder I put on so much weight. Like, I mean, I never looked at the calories, obviously, when I was getting stuff, because I just, you want to eat it and you eat it.
Oh, my God, Amy.
With Juno, I had to
wear... You're like a midget.
I know. But it was...
Be like rolling you down the hill.
It was unbelievable.
Like a barrel.
I had to wear my ex's shoes with Juno. He's like, I think he's a size 9 because I'm a size 4 to 5, but I just couldn't get my feet in
any of my
shoes. Yeah, because I was just so swollen.
I'm fat.
And it's like you've got a constant hangover. That's what it's like. You just feel a bit shit. Then obviously it can be like with the sickness and the headaches.
I've just never had any of that. I just loved it. I loved being... Because I never really bought maternity outfits. So all of the stuff that I've got, I just obviously, because I've got a bit of lycra. But everything, I just was all bumps. So it didn't really affect me like that. I didn't have to get new clothes. I didn't have to do any of it. The only thing that did get rather large was my nose.
No.
Yeah, that's what they say. Your nose spreads when you're pregnant.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, apparently. You should look at pictures. Yeah.
I've got a big nose anyway, though. So have I. Haven't really noticed.
Yeah, but you've got like a long... I got like a fat nose. Mine like spreads across my face. But apparently that's what happened, and that's definitely what happened to me.
Did you get more hairy? Did you have to shave more?
Oh, it's a bit personal.
I think I felt more hairy.
No. I felt quite sexy. Felt quite liberated.
Oh, I felt fucking awful. I would, and that's because I loved being pregnant in the sense that I had a baby.
Yeah.
But I just hated feeling so shit all the time. And I used to look at people, like my friend Emma, when she was 3 months pregnant. I was bigger than her at 1 month pregnant. Like, you know, like people don't know they're pregnant.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like people don't know they're pregnant. Until they're 6-7 months gone.
And some I'm people, like, yeah, yeah.
How the fuck? Can it be so different?
From each woman. Yeah, no. It is mad. And it's like, I guess it's like your hormones, the baby, the situation you're in, if you've got stress. It's all those type of things. It's not like we're all very different, aren't we?
well, I've always had really shit periods. Mm. So that was annoying because I thought, well, maybe I've just had shit periods, but then I'll have really good pregnancies. But it was like, no. If I have a fucking bad menopause, I tell you.
Well, that's not far from around the corner, is it?
Shut up. But yeah, mine was all, it's just all hormonal.
Yeah.
Did you have
sex whilst you were pregnant?
I was really horny when I was with Juno, yeah. I can't remember so much with Lola, but I definitely remember being really horny with Juno. But yeah,
I think I was not for the first bit,
obviously, because I was really sick. But yeah. Then after the sickness stopped. Yeah,
and then towards the end, I just wasn't at all.
Well, towards the end, I was literally the size of a house.
Yeah,
that weren't happening.
No.
But I think I still was. I still tried.
Victoria Wood.
Oh, my God.
Oh, slap me on my bum with my woman's weekly. Literally.
I remember being in the shower at my old place, and it was when I was pregnant with Juno. And I was a bit like, I don't actually know if I can do this, because it all came flooding back when, I mean, obviously, the whole thing about pregnancies and births and all the horror stories, like, I had another one. Do you know what I mean? So whatever happened, soon forget that. As soon as you have that baby.
But you're going to remember some things, and it's going to be traumatising.
Morning sickness kicked back in. I was like, oh, fuck, what have I done? And at one point I was a bit like, I don't know if I can go through with this.
No.
I don't know if I can go through with this again. Like, I had to, because I was breastfeeding Lola when I got pregnant with Juno. And that's when I stopped breastfeeding her. I mean, I wasn't going to be breastfeeding two babies.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So I knew that I had to stop before Juno was born anyway. And she was old enough. She was like two.
Yeah.
But I remember just being in bed and I was like, I can't keep anything down. So I can't be producing milk to feed her. Do you know what I mean? So I was only feeding her at night anyway, because she was obviously eating and drinking. But it was just at night. It was like a comfort thing. So I had to stop feeding Lola because I was like, I can't be feeding her.
No, I used to love breastfeeding. I really did. That was one of the things that I enjoyed most. I think I breastfed Idris until he was two, more or less. And then he stopped taking from the right and he would only take from the left. And obviously that's when I found the lump.
Oh, my God.
That's when I found my lump in my right breast, and that's when that all started to make sense, because he would not take from the right breast whatsoever.
So were you not making milk in that breast then?
I was.
You were, but it...
It just would not. He would not take at all. No.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
No, and he obviously at two, some of it is just comfort, obviously, because they're eating and they're, you know, their diet is away from, you know, just milk.
But yeah.
So a lot of it was comfort, which is why I thought it was really strange.
Yeah.
Very strange that he just wouldn't. And that's when I discovered a lump, and they did think it was a blocked milk duct.
Yes.
And that's when that all sort of kicked off. But that it is quite... I don't know, breastfeeding is a, and I know some women,
you know, they just can't take to it, or they don't want to do it, or, you know. But I remember being in hospital and Idris was given to me like from the incubator, and I was desperate to try I was desperate to feed him. And there was this amazing woman who was the breastfeeding like nurse, and she'd come and sit with you and she'd come and show you how to do stuff. And I remember just getting myself into such a state about it.
Yeah.
I had mastitis. What was it called?
Mastitis.
Mastitis. Oh, it was so painful. Oh, it was awful, where you know, you just get rock hard. Oh, yeah.
I had that when I was fucking pregnant with Juno. Horrible.
Standing in a shower trying to get all
cabbage. Did you have cabbage leaves in your bra? That all was those, amazing how much that helped, though, wasn't it?
Oh, God, all of those things. And I remember this woman just saying, you know, she was really calm and very, you know, together, and, you know, and I was wailing in the corner. She's like, you know, you'll get it. You just got to try each day. And I was there for about 2 weeks, I think, and after the second week, I got it. And I just didn't want to ever let that go.
Yeah.
It was an amazing experience. That's the one thing I remember, like, enjoying the most. Yeah, I didn't care where I did it.
Yeah.
Same. I wasn't interested in who was, you know.
The first time you did it, did you feel?
No. Strangely enough, not. Because I think because my family are quite, you know, quite open about things like that, you know, open about, you know, I remember my mum, she's talking about breastfeeding us and breastfeeding my brother and sister. So it's just part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And it's something that I really wanted to do. It's something that was my thing. So I think it's just perseverance and being quite confident.
Yes.
Your child needs feeding,
and
you just got to feed your kid.
Yeah.
I mean, if your boob pops out and a nip knot, that's all right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't. What are you going to do? And I think I was in Woodford, and we'd gone out for a walk, and I was in the cafe, and I think that was the first time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think you look around feeling like, oh, is everybody looking at my breast? But they're not. It's not a sexual thing.
No.
It's you know.
And I don't think anyone pays any attention.
No.
Anyway.
Not,
feel like people are looking, but no one's looking.
No. You do look like, feel like. Well,
I
look,
I love seeing. I went out for coffee the other day and there was a woman sitting behind me and I was just, it's just such a lovely thing.
It is.
To see.
If I see it, like, I'll always go up and I say, do you want a drink? Do you want a water? Because I remember people doing that for me.
Yeah.
And it's quite a nice thing because you can't go anywhere, can you?
No.
You just sat there.
Or cut up your dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at night, that was the easiest thing, though, having a kid, having a baby, co-sleeping. We had one of those beds on the end, you know,
the
I can't remember what it was called.
Like you stick it on the side,
I mean, you just roll over, there you go, roll back. Bob's your uncle. Off to sleep again. All that making bottles and, oh, my God, I just couldn't have done it.
Yeah, I'm glad that I could.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to deal with all that shit. I mean, I suppose the only upside is that if you've got a partner, then they can feed as well. It's not all on you.
No.
Because if you're breastfeeding, it's all on you. See, I couldn't express.
I felt like, I just felt like a factory, though. I felt like a milk factory. And it was a bit weird.
It is a bit. I still remember what that feels like, actually. But I just, the girls fed fine, but that pump, I literally got like a centimetre's worth. I'd sit there for 45 fucking minutes and I'd get a centimetre's worth. And it just was soul destroying.
I'm not laughing, Amy, but you've got the wrong shape boobs for that extraction. You've got like long boobs. You need like full boobs.
Yeah, I did, but they were big when I was pregnant though. My tits were all right when I was pregnant.
Well, yeah, you were like 15, 16 stone.
Yeah. It was, half of it was in my tits. God, I missed my boobs. Yeah, they were, but it's just that I think it's the action on the nipple, I guess, isn't it? Because I've always been a strong advocate for breastfeeding. So I'm like, that's why you got boobs.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But I found it really hard, and I found that really hard because it was so upsetting because I was like, I really want to breastfeed.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
It hurt. I felt like people were sticking pins in my fucking nipples while they were on fire.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the fuck, this is what they're supposed to do. Like, how the fuck can it hurt so much? Yeah. Like, that's not right.
And it is a weird sensation. It's like a weird, it's a little bit like, I'm not sure if I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't get off. I want to do it, but get off. Yeah. Get the fuck off.
I remember sitting there crying as it hurts so much. But then someone said to me, nipple shields. And they always, like, they were kind of like, no, you shouldn't use them because it confuses the baby. But I was a bit like, I've got to fucking give it a go. And they saved my life.
Did you have to, like, strap your boobs up?
Fuck off. You just stick the little nipple shield over your nipples. No. And then they were on that and it stopped hurting. Then I suppose they toughen up. I don't know. And then I was absolutely fine.
You were full but the steam ahead.
Weird thing was I'd been breastfeeding for over 2 years. I stopped breastfeeding Lola for 6 months. I think it was, it must have been 6 months. And then I had Juno and I went right back to the start again.
Oh, did you?
Yep, I had to get the nipple shields again and everything. I was like, well, I thought once they toughened up, it'd be fine, but it didn't work like that. I had to use the nipple shields again. I mean, it obviously was a lot easier the second time because I knew what I was doing and I'd already experienced it, so I didn't stress out because I knew that it would pass. But it was about 2 weeks of absolute pain and hell, and I completely understand why some people are like, do you know what?
No,
I can't do this.
I do as well, and I do think it's really important to grasp that concept of, it might not be for everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody has a right to,
and some people don't make the milk as well.
They don't. And it is very stressful. You know, I've known women who are desperate to breastfeed and can't.
Yeah.
Physically does not happen. Well, doesn't.
When I thought I couldn't, that was really hard.
Yeah, you feel like a bit of a failure.
Yeah, completely.
Totally.
It was heartbreaking. So my heart does go out to people that can't do it.
No, I know. It is hard. It is hard.
But I always remember when the first time I breastfed Lola in public, I was really self-conscious and I couldn't believe that I cared because I'd always been
liberal.
So like, everyone should breastfeed wherever you want. Yeah. It gives a shit. Do you know what I mean? But I felt really self-conscious.
Yeah.
But then once I'd done it once or twice.
There should be more support around breastfeeding, and there should be more support, I think, from when you're out and in coffee shops and stuff. Yeah. For, you know, there should be some areas where you can go and breastfeed. I mean, I was ushered to a toilet once, I remember.
Yeah, I know people that sat in the toilet and breastfed.
And I actually think that's wrong.
It's disgusting.
And it's like, you know, you wouldn't go in there and feed your toddler in a toilet, so why would you feed a baby in a toilet? But there should be more sort of, you know, maybe in certain cafes, a little screen or something, or somewhere that's private for women to go. Because sometimes it isn't an easy experience.
No.
It isn't. And it's busy. Sometimes, you know, you're out and about and you just got to feed your child.
I've fed them everywhere. Like, literally.
Yeah, so did I. IKEA.
Everywhere.
Tesco, Sainsbury's, the lot. Everywhere. I think I even when I went to pick up a car in a garage, I think even my boob came out there as well. Yeah, definitely. Oh, little. Did you use, you weren't one of them mubs that did disposable nappies, were you? Or did you use...
Oh, the washing...
No, you didn't.
I did. Okay, yeah, I was proper hippie. When I had Lola, I got the washable ones.
Ooh.
And I did do it for a while. They were really good, actually. But I can't remember what I can't. I think they leaked too much.
They did.
Because I think breastfed babies, the poo's worse, isn't it, than bottle fed. So I did definitely use them with Lola, but I didn't use them with Juno. So I think that was because I think they leaked too much. And I mean, babies leak enough.
Oh, they do.
As it is. So I didn't really need that. But yeah, I thought that was really. I got on with them. I'm all right with poo and sick and stuff.
Like poo.
I can deal with it. It doesn't make me feel funny.
I just don't like poo.
But baby poo's just...
Don't like baby poo. Don't like any poo. Can we stop talking about poo? You and your family have got an obsession with poo still to this day.
Weirdos. We haven't got an obsession, but I just... Whatever. I'm all right with stuff like that.
So where did the girls sleep? Did they co-sleep with you?
I co-slept from the beginning. When I brought both of them, I had to stay in... overnight because they both pooed in me.
Oh.
But when I come home with Lola, I had the cot set up by the bed, like the Moses basket thingy. That actually had been my eldest sister Claire's, like we'd all been in it. I'd got it from my mum and dad. I think Claire had it because I think her girls were in it, my nieces. And I put Lola in it and I think she was in it for 5 minutes and she started crying. And I picked her up and put her on me.
Yeah.
And that's where she slept for 2 weeks or maybe a bit longer than that. And then I moved her down by the side of me and she slept in between me and her dad. And when she used to wake up in the night, I used to stick me boob in her mouth.
And then that was it.
And she'd get, well, not in, well, no, when she's first, with the first baby, you have to change her bum, don't you? You have to get, and I had a really good breastfeeding pillow that my friend Lindsay sent over from America that kind of wrapped around you.
Yeah.
It was really, and you could do it up as well. It was really good. It was like a little shelf. So I'd wake up in the night, it's all a bit of a plav, isn't it? You have to get them up, put them on, do the other one, wind them, change the bum. Yeah. Like it's all a bit of, but once they're obviously older, then I would just be literally, I'd just stick the boob in the mouth.
And
9 times out of 10, they just have a little suckle and go back to sleep anyway. And then they go back to sleep, when I stopped breastfeeding Lola, she stopped waking up in the night. And literally, immediately. So as soon as I stopped breastfeeding her, she'd no longer wake up in the night. So I was like, how does that work? Something must have been waking her up to feed.
Yeah.
And then when she realised that that wasn't happening anymore, she just didn't wake up.
Little cherubs.
Amazing, isn't it?
And now she's 9 years old.
Any
more children?
No, that was, I always thought I'd have three. And when I separated from the girl's dad, I think that was my, that was the thing that I was most upset about, was the fact that I wouldn't have any more kids.
Yeah.
Because I knew that at that point.
Yeah.
But if I did meet someone else and entering into another relationship, I'd be too old to.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, my pregnancies were so bad
that you I had to
have help looking after Lola when I was pregnant with Juno. So I'd have to have help looking after them when I was pregnant. It's not fair on them.
No.
And they are supposed to get work. Well, I have been pregnant since. I did actually have a miscarriage just before I separated. I had a miscarriage. It was an unplanned pregnancy.
Okay.
I think I was about 9 weeks.
Okay.
9 weeks, 10 weeks when I lost it. But I was even sicker with that pregnancy than I was
with
the other two. So I knew this wasn't going to be getting any better. Do you know what I mean?
That was it.
And my friend had, she had bad pregnancies and she said that they all got worse. And a doctor actually said to her, if you have bad pregnancies, they just get worse. They don't get better.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, plus I was older. And at this point, I'm like,
no.
I'm enjoying the stage I'm at in myself with the kids. I couldn't go back to having a baby now.
I would like another one. I did get pregnant and then I had an ectopic pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
And then I lost. So that was, I didn't even.
So how did they find out that that was an ectopic pregnancy then? How does that work?
So another horrific story of me ending up in hospital, which is the story of my life, basically. Yeah. So what happened was I went to Italy for my friend's wedding, and I could not get on with the food, the Italian food at all, which was quite unusual for me.
Yeah.
And I kept gagging a lot.
Oh, my God.
At certain things.
Did you know you were pregnant?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't know I was pregnant. Yeah. But I was like, what I couldn't understand is I'd lost a little bit of weight for the wedding. And then when I was in Italy, I couldn't really eat a lot. But I'd put on a little bit of weight. Like you could see a little bit.
Yeah.
Like round the thighs, a little bit. You know, just a little bit, a little bit round the tongue. And then when we got back, I went to do an event for work in East Ham. And I remember being on the bus and Idris's dad had sent a picture of Idris and he'd cut all his hair off.
Oh.
And he had beautiful, lovely, beautiful hair. And he cut it off.
Oh, my God.
And I was so distressed and so upset that I started, like, shouting down the phone at him. And that night, I'd gone to bed. We went in the same house. I went to bed and the next morning I woke up in probably the most pain I've ever felt. And it was excruciating.
Oh, God.
But I'd fallen in my bedroom and I'd woken up and I didn't understand why I was on the floor.
Oh, wow.
And I'd lost consciousness.
Oh, wow.
And I realised that something serious was wrong, and I couldn't see properly.
Oh, my
and I,
God.
I was going in and out of consciousness.
How old was Idris?
He wasn't with me at the time, thankfully. He was with his dad. And I rang for an ambulance.
Yeah.
And they asked me to try and get down the stairs.
Yeah.
I fell down the stairs. The people on the end of the phone obviously could hear that.
Yeah.
I managed to get up again. They asked me to open the front door and there would be an ambulance. And then I obviously phoned Marvin. But we'd had an argument the night before. And I think you thought I was fucking like being a drama queen. Like this one. Like she shouts down the phone at me. And then the next day, like she's all wants me to come and I've phoned an ambulance. And when all I remember was the ambulance coming through the door. And them giving me morphine. Marvin and Idris were there in my face as well.
Oh, God.
And I didn't understand. Like, the time was just so weird.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't conscious.
Yeah.
And then I went into hospital. I went to WIPS. And they said that they asked me if I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would I be pregnant? Like, that's not... Like, I can't get pregnant naturally. I can't get... So why would you ask me that?
Yeah.
And I remember feeling really distressed.
Yeah.
But the pain was... This whole horrible pain. It was, like, excruciating. And they said, we're going to do a test.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, flip. Like, what kind of a test? They're like, just a pregnancy test. I was like, all right, then. You just got to pee on a stick. And it came up. I was pregnant. I was about 9-10 weeks.
Right.
But it was ectopic. But it had grown inside my fallopian tube.
Fuck.
But it was so big, it was close to rupturing.
Oh, my God.
And I then was taken to emergency surgery. And that was the pain.
Yeah.
But it's very dangerous because if it goes into your bloodstream, that's when it can poison you.
Oh,
so it's,
God.
Yeah, that was horrible. And I lost my right ovary. I lost my fallopian tube on the right-hand side. And I lost quite a lot of, and I had a lot of scar tissue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was like a moment in time where I thought, you know, I didn't know I was pregnant. I would have liked to have been pregnant. It would have been a nice thing. But even at, like, I'm 43 now, and I do kind of think sometimes I'd quite like another one. If I did have one, I think it would be, like, towards the end of this year, maybe next year, but that'd be it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go beyond that if I ever had one.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, and now I've only got one fallopian tube, one ovary, which has been tied because of IVF. So I wouldn't be able to it happen naturally.
Oh, so do they do that when you have IVF then?
Yeah, they tie them. They tie your tubes because there's a fluid. So where they put the embryos back in, and obviously there's a risk of ectopic pregnancies when you have IVF.
Right.
So they clip your fallopian tube so it doesn't travel back. And then there's this fluid that can come out. I can't remember what it's called, but that can also kill off an embryo.
Ah.
So for the sake of your embryos,
they
tie them. I could have it untied. I could possibly have it untied, but that might not work.
So would you go through IVF again then?
Well, I was toying with the idea of possibly paying for my tube to be untied and seeing if it could happen naturally.
Well, you can get pregnant naturally, can't you? You know that now.
Yeah.
And that is my brother-in-law's brother, him and his wife had IVF and they had twins.
Yeah.
And 9 months later, she was pregnant naturally, and she was told she'd never get pregnant naturally.
Yeah.
But it does encourage, doesn't it?
It does.
Women to get pregnant. Yeah.
But obviously, you're older now. I don't know.
I think you just got to think about your life, because obviously your life changes
massively
completely when you have a baby. So I think you've just got to, if that's what you want, then brilliant. Go for it.
It's
a sacrifice, isn't it?
It is. But I don't have the same lifestyle as I had before, so...
Yes,
I think I think having kids later on in life is actually quite a nice thing.
Yep.
It's quite a joy, keeps you young.
I'm glad that I did all my partying and I got that out of my system, because then I quite enjoy now being a mum. I don't feel like I've missed out on anything.
No.
In some ways, I wish I would have liked to have had more kids because I really like having kids.
Yeah, I do.
So if I'd started earlier, then I might have had more. But then obviously this would have been in a different situation because I couldn't deal with more than two on my own.
No.
Like, I'm glad that I miscarried
that
baby because, well, I don't know if I'd be in separated if I'd had a third child.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have split up. When I did split up,
no.
Do you know what I mean? Because I would have been pregnant and I wouldn't have been able to go through with it. So, and I'm glad for the situation that I'm in now.
Yeah, now it's like party time with Amy drinking water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that. You could have at least like met me a little bit earlier so we could have had like...
Darling, if we'd have met any earlier...
Raucous nights together.
We wouldn't. I don't think we'd have any kids.
No, I don't think we'd have them in the house. They'd be taken away.
I probably wouldn't be alive if I'd met you any earlier.
No, that's
Jesus.
True. But, you know, that's a good thing. Now you,
well, yeah.
Now you check me out and drive and I drink.
Yeah.
For you. I do find it funny when I go around the supermarket and it just goes, are we going down the wine aisle now? And I go, yes. And he goes, why do you drink wine, Mum? And I always say, to deal with you.
Yeah.
To deal with you. That's why I drink wine.
I definitely drank a lot more after having Lola. Well, no, I wouldn't have drunk more than because I wasn't going out partying, but I never drank, like, I didn't drink every day.
No.
But I drank every day once I had kids.
Did you?
Yes, it got to a 5 o'clock and I used to be like, it's 1 o'clock, just to deal with the... When she was about 18 months, age.
You better be careful, there's no, like, social services listening.
Oh, God. Did you drink when you were pregnant?
No, I had literally, I think I had maybe one or two glasses of wine throughout the whole thing. I... really couldn't drink. That's the one thing I couldn't do.
Yeah.
Was drink.
God, that must have been hard for you.
Do you know what, Amy? I am, I'm teetotal at the moment. She says lying. I couldn't drink. I couldn't drink. It wasn't that I didn't want to. It wasn't that I felt guilty. It wouldn't go down. It wouldn't stay down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I felt like it was like... It
gave
like,
me heart.
Yeah, it was so far and then...
Yeah.
But I was told like a glass of red wine or a glass of wine would have no effect.
I'd have like a glass or maybe two glasses if I fancied it.
I don't believe
it. And when I was breastfeeding as well, I drank. Not a lot, but if I would have wanted a glass of wine or two.
I think there were a couple of times where I'd got shit-faced and thought, fuck, I've got breastfeed. Thankfully, I'd, like, expressed.
Yeah.
But there was a couple of times where I'd had, I think, like, a couple of shots of Sambuca and then gone home and thought, that I can't give that to my child.
But how long does it take for the milk to...
Don't know, but, like...
And my kids, because my sister, she had kids, like, a lot earlier than me because she's like 10 years older than me, but she was like, oh, they sleep a bit better if you have a drink.
That's what
but that never fucking no. My kids never slept anymore if I'd had a drink.
No, I think that makes them a bit more wired probably.
I didn't know. I honestly didn't notice any difference at all, but then again it was literally like I'd have one or two drinks. I wasn't drinking a lot anyway, and I do think by the time it goes through your body, I don't even know how milk's made. Do you know what I mean? Like, what does your body take?
No, what does it taste like?
Didn't even never taste it?
No, I didn't taste it, Amy.
You're joking.
No.
How could you not taste it? It's like rice milk.
Is it?
Yeah. I had,
It's
I
so
run
weird.
Out of milk. I was having a cup of cocoa and I'd run out of cow's milk.
You did.
So I topped it up with my milk, but I couldn't drink it because it's such a strong... Well, I made it. It's food.
Oh, my God.
It's more natural to drink breast milk than it is to drink... cow's milk, isn't it?
I just couldn't do it. Have you ever drank have you ever drank your own whey?
No, I've never done that.
I bet you have.
No, I couldn't.
I bet you've had a little lick.
No, I haven't. I've never drunk whey. I couldn't do that. That's a bit
too
far.
People do that, don't they?
I had
they do.
When I had Juno, I had my placenta encapsulated.
Oh, you didn't.
I did. So I had a row with I had a bastard midwife when I had Juno. I had a man. I had a man.
Okay.
He didn't. So I had an epidural with Juno. Again, I was going to have a home birth with Juno. So I was at home. We had the pool at home, hired one, filled it up. Overfilled it, flooded the kitchen. Yeah, it was a fucking... I didn't put one foot in that fucking pool because I was bouncing up on my ball. I did hypnobirthing with Juno, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was absolutely fine. Midwife came round, 3 centimetres, 12 hours later, still fucking 3 centimetres. So I had to go in because it had been going on for too long. They burst my waters for me, pooed in me. Same situation, you got to be strapped to the bed, had to be induced. And I was just like, so the midwife, I wanted to go on my knees because I was in so much pain. But he was like, you can't, you've had an epidural, you can't feel your legs. No. I was like, I can feel my legs. Look, I can feel my legs. I know what I can feel because it's my body. But he just wasn't having any, he was such a fucking arsehole. And my placenta, I wanted to take my placenta home.
Yeah.
So someone comes and picks it up from the hospital and they take it back and I had a smoothie made out of it and tablets, which I still got some in the freezer, actually.
Do not ever give me them.
No, they're for me, for when I go through my menopause. But he was having an argument with me. He was like, why do you want it? And I was like, because I want it. It's mine. Why can't I? You can't bury it in the garden because the foxes all dig it up. I was like, I'm not going to fucking bury it in the garden. I'm getting tablets made. Why? I was like, I don't want to go through this right now. I want to take my placenta home.
Does it actually, or is it just some like celebrity thing that?
See,
it's a bit like, you know,
like the idea of it. I don't know if it helped. I mean, I had all them problems, didn't I, after I had Juno with me face aids.
Yeah.
So it definitely didn't help there. But the smoothie, it's like a 50p pence size bit of placenta that they put in a smoothie made with loads of berries. All I could taste was the berries. It didn't taste of anything else. And then I had the tablets made. I had a tincture made, which I've never done anything with, that you're supposed to put in, like...
Weirdo.
But I don't know whether it helped me. I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
So...
You're on your own with that one.
There
are some things that people do that I do think, oh, my God, like, you just... No, that's not gonna work.
The thing is, I don't know if I would have been a lot worse... If I hadn't have done it. It's like the amber necklaces, isn't it, with the teething.
Yeah.
My girls had them. Their teething was amazing. They didn't have any issues at all. I don't know if that was the amber necklace or they would have been like that anyway.
Yeah. I had that giraffe thing.
Yeah, Sophie.
Yeah, Sophie.
Yeah. Love Sophie. Yeah, I used
to love that.
Yeah, they girls did.
And what I used to do as well is I used to cut up bananas into manageable like sizes and freeze them.
Yes.
And that's what you used to like biting on.
Yeah.
Things like that. Like there's a lot of
some kids
things.
Have really bad nappy, they have really bad, yeah, bad in that acid in their poo or whatever, isn't it? And they really suffer.
And their cheeks get really red. There was somebody at at the swimming pool, and her cheeks were so red and it just looked awful. I mean, it's such pain, isn't it?
It is awful. It's awful. But then it's weird again, isn't it, how some kids have it really bad
and
some kids don't at all.
I know. Anyway, we have come to the end of our session, Amy.
That was good therapy.
It's like, it's a bit like
it
therapy.
It is therapy.
Yeah. It is therapy.
It is therapy. Talking. Is.
Well, sometimes you haven't heard these stories for so... You haven't said these stories for so long that they're buried so deep, so it's quite nice to unearth them.
It is.
So what's next week?
I don't know yet. We'll think.
Yeah.
Something exciting.
I think we'll get off babies. I think we'll get maybe dating.
Oh yes, dating.
That'll be exciting.
Oh God, the world of internet dating.
That's your dating.
Yeah.
All right, love. Bye.
Love you. Bye. So that was pregnancy and birth.
Yeah.
And breastfeeding. I would just like to say, because I did really slag off the fact that I had a male midwife. I wasn't slagging it off because he was male. I was just saying because he was a bit of a dickhead. But. Yeah, I'm not against male midwives. I think it's good men getting involved.
We're caveating this, aren't we? That's what they say. That's what they say in my work all the time.
Is it?
Oh, I'm just going to caveat this. Okay.
All right.
Do you want to Google it?
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so, and if you want to find anything more out about placenta encapsulation, Google it. There are plenty of people around. I still like the idea of it. I don't know whether it worked or not.
I'm actually screwing up my face still about placenta encapsulated or anything to do with ingesting your placenta.
Well, it's part of you, isn't it? It's in you.
I know, but we don't need to go into it again. Okay. It's actually put me off my lunch.
Oh, whatever.
We love the NHS.
We love the NHS. I do love the NHS.
I love the NHS.
I mean, oh my God.
Like, they're responsible for me having a child.
Yeah, because you had a lot of problems, didn't you?
Yeah, I had my IVF.
Yeah?
Yeah. And without the IVF, I wouldn't have been able to afford it. So, yeah, and all the other things. Love the IVF. Love, love, love the NHS.
And, yeah, breastfeeding. There's lots of support groups around for breastfeeding.
There are loads.
Yeah, there is help and support out there, but as always, we're always happy to give advice and help. We'll point you in the right direction. So if you want to contact us.
Or Amy can give you some diagrams on what to do with their own breasts. I mean, they might be hitting the floor a lot this time.
It's not my fault. They've shrunk.
They've got longer.
Oh, no. It's age. That's what happens.
Mine haven't. Mine are perky.
Fuck off.
Perky Sue over here.
Whatever. So... Mum and Mama Pod.
Mum and Mama Pod. Subscribe.
Subscribe.
Send us an email.
Share your stories.
Yeah.
Let us know. A story.
And we are actually looking for really amazing women and men who want to share their story with us and do a podcast. We're happy to facilitate that.
Yeah, definitely. If you feel like process. You'd like to get involved, then please let us know.
Or if you want to remain anonymous and you have something you'd like to share and you'd like us to share that with the world, then let us know what that is. And we can let the world know.
And also, if you offer a support service for breastfeeding or you encapsulate placentas or anything and you want us to give you a shout out, then get in touch as well.
Definitely.
All right, take care and see you next week.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
Bye.
Work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.